The Rambam wrote a Sefer Mitzvahs where he lists off what, in his opinion, are the 613 mitzvahs, and he mentions as one of the mitzvahs a mitzvah to shecht behemus. So the Ravid is masik on the Rambam. What do you mean it's a mitzvah? Mitzvah once in a lifetime, everybody has to shecht the behema, or once a day. What kind of a mitzvah is it? He says maybe the Rambam means that it's an iser essay. Maybe it's correct, maybe it's an iser essay. Sometimes you have psukim in the Chumash, like the Rambam counts as a mitzvah, kol tzipa tohera tochelu. You should eat kosher birds, but it's a mitzvah once a day, every day, to eat chicken, to eat kosher chicken, or it's once in a lifetime, or once every so often. Or no, kol tzipa tohera tochelu means it's a lav haba mechlal asay. Sometimes you have a pasuk that's, let's say, a mitzvah to wear tefillin. So mitzvah, it's a kiyum essay to wear tefillin. Is it an iser essay? If you don't wear tefillin, you violate an avera. Probably not. It's not an iser essay. It's a kiyum essay. The medrash, there's such a medrash, osias, the Rabbi Akiva. Medrash says that there are two different gehenims. There's a gehenim shalesh and a gehenim shalshelek. Gehenim shalesh for the people who were hot-blooded and they ran ahead and they did averas. Then there's a gehenim shalshelek for the people who were lazy. They were cold-blooded, and they didn't run to do the mitzvahs. So if a person doesn't wear tefillin, so they burn him in the Gehenim Shalesh. No, they freeze him in the Gehenim Shalshelek. He didn't fulfill the mitzvahs asay of tefillin. But it's not an iser asay. Pashto says it's a kiyum asay. Sometimes, once in a while, you have a pasuk that's both a kiyum asay and an iser asay. Like kiyikach ishisha. So the Rambam considers that a kiyum asay, it's a mitzvah, says it to get married. Others disagree. You learn the beginning of Ksubas, other the Rosh and the Taisus there disagree. They say birchas eris, and it's not a birchas mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to get married. You have to get married in order to have children. There's a mitzvah of pirei verivya. Getting married is a hechsher mitzvah, like buying a lulav and an esek is a hechsher mitzvah. Constructing a sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah. So getting married is a hechsher mitzvah to fulfill the mitzvah of Pirei Rivya. And the Rambam holds that two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah to get married. Lotov heyosu adam labada, it's a mitzvah to get married. That's another mitzvah to have children, Pirei Rivu. So even according to the Rambam, the Rambam says that someone who's mezana with a girl and without kiddushin, pana habal apnuyo, l'shem znus, is over on the lav of loisiyah kadesha. So the Ravid is masing on the Rambam. He says he thinks that there's no love. Let's see, Kadesh is only if the woman is a prostitute, if she's mufkerizim, zamenis, liznus. The Rambam also holds like that, that the Rambam in Hilchus Naira Besula, when he talks about oinus and mefata, so the Rambam says that how do you ever pay oinus and mefata? How do you ever pay, let's say, mefata? The woman is, they're in violation of the love of Lasiya Kadesha. So there should be malchus, so it should be kamle b'dirabmine. So the Rambam says, anachanami, if the woman is mufkeris and is a menis lusnus, then it'll be malchus, then it'll be kamle b'dirabmine. If she's not mufkeris and is a menis lusnus, she's not a prostitute. It's just pane habal apnuya, l'shem znus, shalom l'shem ishus. So the Rambam says that's it's included in the lav, the ika lav that you get malchus for, is only if she is mufkeris lusnus, like the Ravid said. But the Ravid holds that's it. The Loisiyah Kadesh is only Mufkeres Liznus. The Rama holds the Ikar Lav is on Mufkeres Liznus. And any Pana Habal Apnuya is a Lav Shebichlolas. Gamze Nichlo Bahalav. This too is included in the Lav. So the Rama writes, you only get Malkus if you violate the Ikar Lav, the Pshutr Shal Mikra. If you violate a Lav Shebichlolas, Saint Loikin Molov. So the Rama's definition of Lav Shebichlolas is you have a Pasuk. And the Ikeb Shuta Shal Mikra goes on one thing, and also included is another Issa. So whatever is also included is not Dumi Dalab Da Hasima, so there wouldn't be any Malkus on that. So the Ravid's Loshin is, when the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchus Ishus, the Rambam writes, Apare Habar Al Pnuyah Shalod Hashem Ishus, is over on the Lab of Lasi Kadesha. So the Ravid says that there's no Lav, So many Achronim Amadayik, Rab Soloveitchik thought that it was a correct diuk. Many Amadayik, the Ravid writes that there's no love. He agrees that there is an Issa deraisa, an Issa rasei, ki kechishisha uviyola. That it's only muta to be boil an Isha if you're married to her. If you're not married, it's an Issa. So the, according to the Rambam, also could be that that pasuk ki kechishisha boala is both a kiyum esse and an Issa rasei. The Rambam holds it's a mitzvah to get married. And there's an Issa rasei, shalom lov al alisha below kiddushin. Once in a while, you have a pasuk that's both an essay, that's both a kiyum essay and an iser essay. Let's say, what's an example? Ach b'yam rishon tashbisu sar mipatechem. So tashbisu is a kiyum essay. It's a mitzvah to destroy whatever chametz you have on Erev Pesach. The mitzvah to destroy the chametz. That's why you say bracha al bir chametz. Mid the rabbanon, they said that bir chametz begins with the bedika. So before you do the bedika's chametz, you say the bracha. Because the bedika is going to lead up to the beer. So the beer chametz, destroying the chametz, is a kiyum essay. But then in addition to that pasuk serving as a kiyum essay, it's also an iser essay. If anyone has chametz in his possession, or anybody eats chametz, or gets anof in the chametz, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, he's in violation of the iser essay. So Ach B'yam Rishon Tashbisu is both an Iser Esei and a Kiyum Esei. Shaila Bat Sukkah, whether Yeshiva B'Sukkah Kol Shiva is a Kiyum Esei, we say Brocha, Shekh Hashem Zasar Leshin B'Sukkah, is there an Iser Esei? In addition to the Kiyum Esei, is there an Iser Esei? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlokes Achronim about that. Is there an Iser Esei? The Mayan Afkemina, is there an Iser Esei for one who eats Chutz L'Sukkah? So the Afkemina in the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bikur Yankov. Bikur Yankov is the first sefer that Rabbi Yankov Etlinger wrote. He's the author of the Shadus Tshuvas Binyan Zion, the author of the Svar Maruch Laner on the Gemara. So the first sefer that he wrote, the Bikur Yankov, was on Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Dalad Minim Hilchas Sukkah. Mishnah Berurah quotes it every other page from the sefer Bikur Yankov. So the Bikur Yankov has a machlokes achrayim whether oinen is permitted to eat chutz l'sukkah. Noinen, l'shemes muta lefanav, is not allowed to observe mitzvahs asei, but he's not allowed to violate averis. So the shaila is whether eating the sukkah is a mitzvah. So he's not allowed to eat in the sukkah, not allowed to sleep in the sukkah. There's much shemes muta lefanav. But maybe there's an iser esei in addition to the kiyum esei. So if there's an iser esei, then we would insist the oinen, l'shemes muta lefanav, should eat and sleep in the sukkah, but he shouldn't say a bracha. You only say a bracha when you're fulfilling a mitzvah saseh, a kiyum saseh. That's how the Birkei Yosef writes. The Chidor wrote the Birkei Yosef on Shulchan Aruch. So the Chidor talks about a misha mesa muta lefan and einen wants to eat a sandwich. He's allowed to eat. Eina mesa v'yochel is not allowed to sit and eat a whole meal with many courses. He should eat. If he's hungry, he's allowed to eat. But he's not allowed to eat paskin, he's not allowed to say birchas anenin, he's not allowed to say birchas amazin. So what if he wants to eat bread? Does he have to wash the tilis yadayim? So the tilis yadayim is a mitzvah, and you say a bracha, asher kedeshonu b'mitzvah, so it's a one on the tilis yadayim. Is there also an iser midirabbana, not minatar, is there an iser to eat bread without the tilis yadayim? So the misha mesa mutalafon would have to wash without a bracha. You only wash with a bracha on a tilis yadayim if you're interested in fulfilling the mitzvah saseh. So that's the pshara that the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchas, the end of Yoredei Chela Gimel, has all the dinim of Avelus, Aninus, and so on. So Mishamesh Mutalafonim is not allowed to do mitzvahs, but he's not allowed to do Averis either. So would you say Mishamesh, that's how the common practice, you follow the Birkei Yosef's pshara. The Mishamesh Mutalafanov is not allowed to eat bread without washing the Tilz Yadayim, but he doesn't recite the bracha on the Tilz Yadayim, because he's not washing in order to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, he's washing in order not to violate the Avera of eating Belin the Tilz Yadayim. And one only, the Chachamim only introduced the Birchas HaMitzvah when you're fulfilling a Kiyum Esei, when you're avoiding violation of an Iser, they didn't institute a bracha. When a person shaves with an electric shaver, he doesn't say a bracha, Shalola galech bitar, or a person goes to eat kosher food in a kosher restaurant, he doesn't say a brocha. You only say a bracha when you're about to fulfill a kiyuma mitzvah, not if you're about to do something to avoid violation of an avera. That's the Rosh's kasha. The Rosh in the beginning of Ksubas has the kasha. When we get married, so we recite in Birchas Harrison, v'tzivonu al ha'arayas, v'atzolano sarusas. So what do you say a bracha? The Rabbanu Shel Olam prohibited us to marrying certain relatives, and he prohibited us from living with an arusa. You have to only have an isua. What do you mention the isurim? You only recite the bracha when you're about to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. When you're about to fulfill a mitzvah, you don't say a bracha when you're about to avoid violation of an avera. So that's what leads the Rosh to understand that the birchas eris, and he quotes from the Balei HaTos, the birchas eris, and it's not a normal birchas hamitzvah. It's something more like a birchas shevach v'hodah. To say it's a birchas shevach v'hodah, that's also problematic, because it starts with Hashem Kedoshanu b'mitzvah yisav tzivanu. So it starts off as a birchas hamitzvah. So something, some kind of a hybrid over here. Some kind of a different form. Some kind of a blend of a birchas hamitzvah with a birchas shevach v'hodah. Yeah, so that's the question. The Rambam counts shechita as a mitzvah. It's really a mitzvah. It's really a mitzvah. So the Kesem Mishnah understands in the Rambam that he really holds that it's a mitzvah. It's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivin. The Rambam holds that it's a conditional mitzvah. Whenever you're interested in eating fleshiks, it's a mitzvah that you should shech the animal. So the question is, how are we mekayim the mitzvah? When I'm interested in eating fleshiks, I don't shech the animal. I go to the butcher store and I buy the meat. So how am I in fulfillment of the mitzvah? So 100 years ago, somebody, a Talmid Chacham, wrote a sefer. So he said, it's all understood that we are appointing the shochtim. I don't know who in the world they are, shochtim in Iowa. Where do they shecht the behemoths? I have no idea. The shochtim, wherever they are, I'm appointing them as a shliach to fulfill a mitzvah on my behalf. And if lebesof, I have this meat in my freezer for the last 3 years, when I take the meat out and I eat it, it's a glory, Muslim Freya, that I appointed that Sheikhet as a Shliach to fulfill the mitzvah for me. Very far-fetched. There was a big Talmid Chacham named Rab Chaim Berlin. He was the son of the Netziv. The Netziv had his first wife died, and then he married the second wife. So Rab Chaim Berlin was his son from the first wife. And Rab Meir Berlin was his son from the second wife. Chaim Berlin was a rabbi in Moscow, and then later on he retired. He was a rabbi in other places. Then he retired. He lived in Yerushalayim the last years of his life. When he, the year that he passed away, that's when they founded the Yeshivas Rab Chaim Berlin. So it had no sheiches with the Yeshivas Rab Chaim Berlin, but he died that year. So they named the yeshiva after him, like over here. Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan was founded the year after Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan passed away. So the Balabatim named the Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. He never visited here. So Rav Chaim Berlin had no shaychus either with there. And there, Bar Ilan was one of the founders of here in the yeshiva. I think for a period of time he may have been the president before there was a university. Maybe before there was a college also. I don't know. But they were brothers. I think there was maybe 40, 50 years difference in age between them. Rav Chaim Berlin was much older than Amner Bar Ilan. So the alumni from the Yeshivas Rab Chaim Berlin years ago put together a collection of letters by Rab Chaim Berlin, sort of Shadis and Chubis, a little bit. And then after they published it, so then they realized there are many more letters. And now they have 3 volumes, collected letters. And one of the letters in the first volume, one of the letters, he sent a letter to this Talmid Chacham who printed this in his Sefer, that if I eat the meat 3 years later, it's a glory, Muslim Afreya, that the Sheikh had agreed 3 years ago to function as my Shaliach, that I should be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So he said, what in the world are you talking about? How can it be? In Breira, what do you mean? I appointed you as a Shaliach. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. How can it be? So he thinks that the Kesem Mishnah is not right. Kesem Mishnah defends the Rambam from Hasogas Arayvid. The Arayvid has hasogas on the Sefer Mitzvahs, just like the Rabbit has hasogas on the whole Mishnah Torah. So the Rabbit has hasogas on the Sefer Mitzvahs. Sefer Mitzvahs is the introductory volume to the Mishneh Torah. The whole Mishneh Torah is to explain all the details of the Taryag Mitzvahs. And every section in the Rambam begins with how many mitzvahs we're going to cover in this section. And then by the time you get to the end of the Sefer, you have covered Kol HaTorah Kula. Kol HaTorah Kula means you know which are the Taryag Mitzvahs, you know all the details. So the Ravid asked on the Rambam, why does he count Shechita as a mitzvah? If anything, maybe it's a lava bomb, a chalal haseh. So the Kesef Mishnah understood, no, the Kesef Mishnah defends the Rambam and the Sefer. There's no, the Rambam holds that it's a kiyum haseh, not just an iser haseh. The Chaim Berlin thinks that it's not so. He thinks that the Rambam agrees with the Ravid. He never meant to say that it's a kiyum haseh, it's an iser haseh. Rav Soloveitchik thought like that also, like Rav Chaim Berlin wrote in the letter. He didn't think the Kesef Mishnah was right.
Maybe it's a kiyum haseh, but it's on the result, the kol yotze. There's some mitzvahs like that. So someone suggests by mila, not just the mitzvah to do the mila, that he should be nima.
So who is in fulfillment? I mean, the shecher u'shechts. The shecher u'shechts 100 chickens a minute. He fulfilled 100 mitzvahs. Rabbi Soloveitchik rubbed him the wrong way. The shecher u'shechts 100 chickens in a half a minute. He did 100 mitzvahs, and I didn't do any mitzvah. He didn't think that that was a mitzvah. So who's mekayim the mitzvah? The person who eats the meat is mekayim a mitzvah. How can it be? He wasn't involved in the shechita. He doesn't know who the shechet is. So the Rebbe thinks that it's an iser asay. If anything, it's an iser asay. Also, Beitchik thought that the Rambam meant the same thing. Just like the Rambam writes, Kol Tzipa Torah Techelu. He doesn't mean that it's a kiyum asay to eat chicken once a day, or once a week, or once in a lifetime. It's not a kiyum asay. If you don't want to eat chicken, don't. You want to eat steaks, you want to eat milchiks, eat whatever you want. It's an iser asay, not to eat a non-kosher bird. So to shecht is also an iser asay. Didn't mean a kiyum asay. Yeah, why did the Kesef Mishnah think that according to the Rambam holds that it's a kiyum mitzvah? Because on the first daf in the second parak, daf Chav Zayinim and Aleph, the second parak begins, Asherech Adechad Deof Hishnayim Bebehem Shechitos Hakshera. When you shecht the behem, you have to shecht both the kona and the veshet. When you shecht the nof, you only have to shecht either the kona or the veshet, one or the other. But it says Hashoichet sounds like B'diyeh B'nen L'chadchil Eloi. So what do you mean? What do you want by behemoth? You should cut all the four legs? You're shechting and cutting the cut of the veshet. What more do you want? That's not L'chadchil. So the Gemara says, maybe what it means is you only shechted Rov, Ruv Sherechet Kamo. If you only shechted Rov, so that's only B'diyeh B'nen L'chadchil you should shecht Kol HaSimen. Or the Gemara makes another suggestion. Maybe Hashoich Adechad Ba'if is B'diyevit. Maybe L'chadchili Sheshech Shnei Asimani Ba'if, the Kona and the Veshet. It's only good B'diyevit if Sheshech did one without the other. B'diyevit, it's good. So the Gemara is not sure why does it say Hashoich Ad B'diyevit. So the Rambam quotes both of the possibilities in the Gemara Daf Chav Zayinim and Aleph. So usually we have a klal from a Tosfos. In the end of Maseches Nida, Tosfos says, Al-Hatchila Deraisa is only possible in a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah b'shlei Musa, and there's a mitzvah shalom b'shlei Musa. So Tosfos gives a mashal, Chalitza. Chalitza is a mitzvah to perform. Chalitza is not just a matir. It's a mitzvah. So that's why L'Hatchila, the mitzvah b'shlei Musa, is Chalitza sasandal. The Yavam has to take off the right shoe from the right foot of the Yavam. Then she has to do rikika, she has to spit on, she doesn't spit on the yavam, she spits on the floor, the yarka bifanov, she doesn't spit in his face, she spits in front of him on the floor. And then they recite the psukim, you have the kriyas of psukim, she says and he says and she says, back and forth. So there are different opinions in the Tanoim, and we pass in the halacha that the kriyas of psukim is not miyakev, and the rikika is not miyakev. The only thing that's miyakev is the chalitza hasandal. So if it's not miyakev, so why do you need it l'chadchila? So Tosfos says, because that's the mitzvah b'shlei Musa. There is a concept of l'chadchila b'diyevet on the level of the raisa in a mitzvah. In a matir, there's no such concept. Let's say, in a get. L'chadchila, the get should be written by this, but b'diyevet, if the get was written like that, b'diyevet, it'll be good. So Tosfos writes in Gittin, that's a dead giveaway that it's only a din midrabbanan. You can't have a lechatchila deraisa. There's no such thing as a lechatchila deraisa in a matir. In a mitzvah there is. The mitzvah b'shleimusa should have been done like this. And but yeah, if you did it like that, lacking a little bit, it's a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa. That's the din latzei achatos. You do four zrikas on the dalet karnas on mizbeach. Or if you bring a shlomim or an oli, you have shtei matan shehein arba. And what a bit of yevid, you only did one zrika. So we pass on like this hillel. The name of the perik is perik beishamai. So it's machleged beishamai b'shil. We pass like b'shil. Only one zrika is ma'akeh by the chatos, by all the karbonis. Only on Yom Kippur, matan achas mehem yakeves. That's a chiddush. Each and every matana is me'akev on Yom Kippur, on chatos ha'primius, whenever you bring a par halam dovah shel tzibur. So matanachas mehem yakeves, but on the chatos, all the karbonos on the outside mizbeach, only one zrika is l'ikuvim. All the rest are just l'chatchila. So you see that there is a l'chatchila there. I say, yeah, by mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah b'shalimus and a mitzvah shalom b'shalimus, and a matir, and a get, l'chatchila the get should be written like this, but whatever the get is written like that is also good. That's obviously only midirabbanan, because a get is not a mitzvah, a get is a matir. So it's muta b'dievet, it's muta l'chatchila. So the shaila is here, when the Gemara discusses, they're not sure what's l'chatchila. Is it l'chatchila shnayim ba'of, or l'chatchila yishishech kol asimin? You shouldn't rely on ruba kukulot. So the Rambam goes l'chumra on both. So the Kes Mishnah says, why did Rambam go l'chumra on both? So he said, this is l'shita, so that the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah is count shchita as a mitzvah min HaTorah. It's not just an Iser. It's a mitzvah. And the Raivad was masig, but the Kes Mishnah understood that the Rambam holds that it is a kiyum HaMitzvah. So it's possible to have a l'chatchila deraisa. So the Gemara is not sure what's the l'chatchila. So safik deraisa l'chumra. So the Rambam paskins goes safik deraisa l'chumra. The Rambam goes l'chumra on both. L'chatchila by Yofi shishecht shnei asimonim. L'chatchila by Behemi, you shouldn't rely on Rubik Kukuli. Shishecht kol asimon, doth the kona and the vision. So this is the Kesa Mishnah understood like that. Rabbi Chaim Balin thinks that it's not so. He thinks that the Rambam never meant to say that the Shchita is a kiyum essay. He said, meant that it's an Iser essay. On this Gemara, there's a Sefer Lev Aryeh. Lev Aryeh was written by the rabbi in Brod at the time that Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius was a wealthy, successful businessman in Brod. And he was world-renowned. He wrote Shadrach Shuvah's Beis Ephraim, and he wrote some of the other Svarim. So the rabbi in Brod was less known than the Balabas. Balabas was more world famous. So the rabbi in Brod at that time wrote the Sefer Leivarya, which used to be a classic on Chulin. Everybody who learned Chulin used to use the Leivarya. Now it's out of style. New style of learning now. So on this Daf Chav Zayinim and Aleph, he shows you that earlier in the first Perek, the Gemara quoted this Mishnah. Where is it? Le'el Yutes Omer Aleph. The Gemara quotes this Mishnah. And if you look there, Yutes Amin Aleph, there is a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, whether this L'chatchila that the Gemara talks about here, L'chatchila Shnei Simonim, L'chatchila Ruba Kukulai, you shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukulai. Is this a L'chatchila Derais, or is this only a L'chatchila Medirabbanan? So that's a Mefurish and Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. That's what the Leif Aryeh just points out. It's on Yutes, it's not on Daf Chav Zayin. But they argue how to read the Gemara on Daf Chav Zayin. Are you dealing with a l'chatchila deraisa derabbanan? So that's exactly the question. You can't have a l'chatchila deraisa if shchita is only a matir. It's only possible to say there's a l'chatchila deraisa if the thing is a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, then not. Okay, so that's a question whether shchita is a mitzvah or shchita is not a mitzvah. Good. Do we discriminate? We often discriminate against women. The women are putter for mitzvahs, as the Shazman Grama. We discriminate. The Torah discriminates, right? The women have a different role in life, and the men have a different role. Different. Each person should do his role in life. The women shouldn't want to become like men, and the men shouldn't want to become like women. Each one should do his own role in life. So the question is, can a woman shecht? So Tosis quotes this funny sefer, the way it's printed, and not Tosis, it says, Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. So some misunderstood. They thought Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is a Yerushalmi. This is, there ain't no Yerushalmi over here. This was some character in the days of the early Rishonim. He claimed Elder Adoni. He claimed he was from the other side of the Nahar Sambatyon, and he's from Shevet Dan, and he had a book that starts off Omer Yehoshua Mipi Moshe Mipi Hagvura, and it has all the Hilchos Shechita. Has a lot of things that absolutely are not accepted at all. So they say the whole thing is a forgery. The book was not written by Yerushua Ben Nun, it wasn't Mipi Moshe. So he writes in his book, women cannot shef because Nashim Daitan Kalos. Nashim Daitan Kalos. The Gemara makes his statement not in Daitan Kalos with respect to Yichud. Yichud with women. It means women are more interested in Znus than men are. I don't know if it's still true. That's what it says in the Gemara. Nashim Daitan Kalos has to do with the priestess. It has nothing to do with Shechita. What's got to do with Shechita? If you want to say, maybe you should say that L'chatchila, women shouldn't shech because you have to be able to hold down the chicken, you have to be strong to hold down the animal. Maybe you have to have koyach to shech. But to say Noshim Dait and Kala says doesn't make any sense. Then he has, if he shecht and you didn't say bracha, so it's an avela, it's pigul. What pigul? When pigul? What are you talking about? You're talking about Shechita's chulin. There is no pigul. Who ever heard of brachas ma'akev? If he didn't say the bracha, like Marzah b'feirish and brachas, if he did a mitzvah without a bracha, he yotze the mitzvah. So we don't accept what it says in the Hilchas Aleph Yud. Hilchas, they say it should really be Omer Yehoshua. The other Rishonim call it Hilchas Aleph Yud, and Sanan spell out Omer Yehoshua. So that's why Rav Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmima, wrote an autobiography. So it is, he has a lot of things. He discussed a lot of issues unrelated to his autobiography, unrelated to his family, to his ancestors. And one of many things he has in his book is about this. He thinks that the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael is a misprint. Some Chachim wanted to spell out the Aleph Yud, so he printed Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. It should be Amar Hilchas Amar Yeshua. Whatever it is, we don't accept what it said. The Ramah, the first Ramah in Yerideya, writes that women shouldn't shecht. But the Ramah and the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah wrote a commentary on the Torah that's called the Darkei Moshe. Originally, the Ramah didn't have the Beis Yosef, the commentary of Rabbi Yosef Karo on the Torah. So he wrote a Darkei Moshe Horach, he wrote a long commentary with a lot of marmakas. And then when he got a copy of, they were contemporaries, but the Ramah lived in Krakow in Poland, and Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Tzfat in Eretz Yisrael, in the middle of the 1500s. They corresponded with each other. Well, so I don't know how they knew of each other's existence. How did they have? They didn't have international postal services. I don't know. Got to know history. How did they know of each other? How did they correspond? I don't know. But so when the Ramah got a copy of the Beis Yosef, so then he abridged the Darkei Moshe, and we have the abridged form. And a lot of times he left out things that don't appear in the Beis Yosef. So that's why there's value to have the original edition of the Darkei Moshe Horach as well. So in all the standard editions of the Torah, they have the abridged form of the Darkei Moshe, but you can buy a separate book, the Darkei Moshe Horach, maybe in the new Torahs, they have it printed in the back. It is of value. Sometimes it's unclear what the Ramah is saying, so if you look in the original Darkei Moshe Horach, you'll find it'll be clearer. So here the Darkei Moshe, the regular Darkei Moshe on the tour, explains what he's talking about. He says a woman shouldn't be the official shochetet for the city. A woman, we would allow a woman l'chatchilah to shech. She wants to eat chicken. So zunta hey, I want to ask my next door neighbor, is a woman, she knows how to shech. I can ask her to shech the behemoth, to shech the a bird for me, to shech the chicken for me. But that a woman should function as the official shochet in town, that's what the Ramah said, that's not right. So Rav Soloveitchik explained why when we learned Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, so he thought that it's like the shochet in Europe used to be like the assistant rabbi. It's not like today, that all the shechita is done wherever, in Iowa, and all the shochetim go travel over there. Every city had its own shochet, and whenever the rabbi was on vacation, the shechet had a yerideya. So the shechet used to pass. He knew not only Hilchos Shechita, he knew Bas B'cholot Taruvos and Melicha as well. My father's grandfather was named Herschel Shechet. I was named after him, Herschel. And he was like the assistant rabbi in the little village where he lived. Whenever the rabbi went on vacation, so he would pass in the Shailas. He was involved in picking the rabbi also. the previous rabbi retired, and then he was involved. He said there were different candidates for the rabbinical position, so he liked one candidate over the others. So he told them how to navigate the politics with the Balabatim to get the job. Okay. So that was the rabbinical politics. So the sheikhet in Europe, the local sheikhet in the village, always used to be the assistant rabbi. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that to have women rabbis is against the Ramon. You ever there? He said, because it's not proper. The Gemara learns off in the Pasuk, Sam tos malach melech melech v'lei malko. That's a comment in the Sifrei on that Pasuk. And even though the Gemara never quotes that Rosha, melech v'lei malko, but the Gemara Bracha says beferish that Noshim are not b'malchus. One opinion in the Machlekes and the Gemara, if a person recites Birchus Hamazon, and in Rachim, no, he didn't say Rachim no Malchus, but he's David Mishichecha, so he's a Yotze B'dievet. Lachatri is supposed to mention Malchus Beis David in Rachim no. So one opinion in the Gemara is that B'dievet, you Yotze, even if you didn't mention Rachim no Malchus Beis David Mishichecha, because women are mechuyev to bench also, and women are not b'malchus. You can't appoint a woman as a malka, so therefore the women are not mechuyev. However, you understand women are not mechuyev to mention Rachman al malchus b'zdom mishichach, because women have no shaykhs but malchus. So you see, the Gemara did assume like that, that there is such a din. Sometimes malach melech, melech v'lai malka. Then the Gemara says, the Karabachecha tossim alecha melech. This is a Gemara. The Karabachecha mimuvcha shebachecha. You shouldn't appoint a ger to a position of sorora. If you have a club of gerim, so you can have a ger, the president of the gerim club. Or you have a union, whatever, a union, and all the members of the union are all gerim, so you can have the president of the union can be a ger. But to have a ger appointed as the rabbi in the community, al pi pashta, that's a violation of the din of mikerav achecha tosim alachem melech. You're not supposed to appoint a ger to a position of sorora over Yisrael. You're not supposed to appoint a woman to a position of sorora over men. If you have a woman's club, so you can appoint a woman to a position of sorora over the other women. There used to be AOJS, the Association of Orthodox Jewish Scientists. So for many years, the president of the organization was Nora Smith. So they asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein whether it's permissible or not. So he asked, what is her job as the president? So he says, they told her that she does all the work. She makes all the phone calls and she makes all the arrangements and everything. She doesn't make any decisions of swear over anybody. It's just a job. She's the secretary and she's the treasurer. And she takes care of everything. So they said, that's not a swar. A swar is, like the president of the shul has the right to spend so much money, he can't spend $500,000 without authorization of the board. But till a certain amount of money, the president of the shul has the right to spend without consulting with the other members of the board. So that, Rabbi Moshe felt, that's considered swar. But if it's just the president of the AOJS just does all the work, rents the hotel in order to have the convention there, and has all the speakers come and so on. So that's an abdus, that's not a sror.
So if sror is only a money kind of thing, why can't we be a big speakers or other things that are not money related?
Why can't you?
A woman be like a leader of a certain, let's say like a president of a shul, if it doesn't have to do with money.
Maybe you can. If they can make decisions on policy also. Not only money, but if they don't make any decisions, whenever there's any issue that has to be decided, they can convene the whole board. The person just does all the work, so that's not a swara. Yeah. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that the woman rabbi is kineged the Shulchan Aruch. And Moshe Feinstein, the Rambam writes like that, that just like you're not allowed to point a ger, same tosim, the Gemara says, kol mesimus b'mashma, not only melech, goes not to be the president of a union. But the Gemara says it about a ger. A ger shouldn't be appointed the president of the water carriers union. All the workers used to have unions in the days of the Gemara. I don't know exactly what the unions did, but they had unions. Maybe they called strikes. I don't know. And so the Gemara says you can't appoint a ger. The Rambam puts together women together with gerim. Some tassim kol mesimus b'mashma, and melech v'lei malka, and mikarav achecha v'lo ger, So the Rama puts it all together. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He thinks that all the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. He doesn't think we have to paskan like the Rambam. He thinks that you can, a woman can be a position of Sarara. Only a ger, the Gemara says, a ger shouldn't be in a position of Sarara, of a non-gerim. A woman shouldn't be appointed as the Melech v'loy Malka, that's all. But any other position of Sarara, we wouldn't say some tosim kol mesimus b'mashma. That's what Moshe Feinstein thinks. So when they appointed, this tshuva was printed years before. So when they appointed Golda Meir as the Rosh HaMemshalah, so some people said, oh, it's because of Rav Moshe's tshuva. Because Rav Moshe said that that you can appoint a woman to any other position of Sarara other than Melech. So it was a joke. What do you mean? They appointed Golda Meir because of Rav Moshe's tshuva. So Rav Moshe felt he has to defend himself. So he wrote another tshuva to someone and they printed it. Has nothing to do with me. They didn't consult me, and they didn't ask me, and they do whatever they want, and shine. Remember, they asked Rav Soloveitchik, was it permissible to appoint Golda Meir to be the Rosh HaMemshalah? So he said that it's a din. You shouldn't appoint a woman to be the president of the shul. According to Rav Moshe, it's not a problem. Only Melech, Melech v'loy Malkum. So Rav Soloveitchik said, and Ben-Gurion was permissible. He said, Ben-Gurion was an apikiris. You're not allowed to appoint him. They're not consulting the Mizrahi. Rabbi Soloveitchik was involved with the Mizrahi. He said, they're not consulting the Mizrahi. They appoint whoever they want. Yeah. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik thought, that when the Ramah distinguished, Ramah the Dark and Moshe explains what he's talking about. To be the official shechet of the city, that's not proper to appoint a woman. That's not what the Hilchas... That's not what Eldad Adoni wrote in his book. He wrote because Nashim died in Kalas. He can't rely on a woman on Shechita. So that's a different reason because of Sarara. That's the Ramoa wrote that compromise, a different reason. You're not allowed to have women rabbis. Yeah. So the Mishnah has a psafani loshen. Hakol shochtim sounds like hatchila. Ushchitos and Ksheva sounds b'di'evet. So what are we talking about over here? Two different things. Sometimes Hakol is marbe, someone whom you would have thought is not allowed to shecht, is not so, you're wrong. Hakol shechtem l'chatchila. And b'di'evet, someone you might have thought is no good b'di'evet, so it says, no, b'di'evet, it is good. So what are we talking about here? So the Gemara is going to give different suggestions. What is the Mishnah alluding to? The Mishnayos were written every so often. You have a Mishnah that's written in a very unclear fashion. There used to be a din that Dvarim Shebal Peh Yatar Hashem Le'Yomim Miksav. Not supposed to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. So we have Mishnayos where they just wrote Rosh Hiprokim. You have a Mishnah in the first parak in Bava Kama. Shum Kesev Shove Kesev Ifnei Edim Ifnei Chorin Ifnei Edim Ifnei Chorin B'nei Bris. And it's not only not a paragraph, it's not a sentence, it's just Rashi Prokim. Shum Kesef is an allusion to a din. Shavu Kesef is an allusion to another din. Bifnei Edim, Nechorim, Rebis. Each one is an allusion. It's like a title of an essay, but it's not even a sentence. So apparently those Mishnayos were composed. They used to recite Mishnayos Baal Peh. Those Mishnayos were composed at a time that it was also to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they said it bekitza nima, this also hakol shochtim. There's a person whom you might have thought this shouldn't shecht l'chatchila. It's not true. Hakol is marbe. Ushchitos and ksheira, there's someone whom you might have thought even b'di'evet, it's no good. It's not true. But the Mishnah doesn't tell you what you're talking about. So that's why the Gemara has four different interpretations. So this must be a very old Mishnah. In the later generations, when they... There are some Mishnayos where you have full sentences and you have full paragraphs. And this is from the earlier generation that they were saying Beremiza, Bekitza Nimrats, they're saying Beremiza what the dinim are. And without an oral tradition, you don't know what the sentence is referring to. So till the Gemara figures out what it's referring to, so they start pulling in different Mishnayos. So they quote the Mishnah in Tmura, the opening Mishnah in Tmura, Hakom and Mirim, there is a loisa say, Lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oso. There's a question here. Does it? You're not allowed to make tamura. Tov bara rabatov. That's a question. It says twice. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oso. When the Torah writes a prohibition, and it's written twice, do you count it twice in the minyan mitzvah, or do you count it once? So that's basically a machlokes, the Rambam and everybody else. The Gemara says in different places, mainly in Makkas, but other Masechtas also, Ochel putisa loika arba, if you eat a certain animal, you get four times malchus. Nemala loika chamesh, nemala is an ant, and sira loika shesh, you get six times malchus. What is he getting four, five, and six times malchus for? So Rashi and Tosfos and the Geonim and the Ramban, they all learn one pshat. And the Rambam stands alone. The Rambam has a whole different pshat. All the Rishonim say, you look in the Chumash, how many times does it say you're not allowed to eat a sheret? So if it says it five times, you get five times malchus. And the Rambam thinks it can't be. If you have, that's called a kefil alav. If you have the same lav is repeated several times, only written for emphasis, it only counts as one lav. It doesn't count as five different lav. So what does the Gemara say? Ochel patisa leka arba, nemola leka chomish, tzira leka shesh. How come you get so many times malchus? So the Rambam has a whole fantastic pshat, both in the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well as in the Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Macholos Asuris. So the Rambam explains there's one lav and a sheretz ha'aretz on animals that crawl, not on big animals, on shrutzim. Tosis in Eridin says, why is it called a sheretz? I think Tosis quotes a Rashi. Why is it called sheretz? Sheretz. You only notice it when it starts running. When it's sitting still, it looks like a speck. You can't even, sometimes you can't even recognize that it's a bug. But when it starts walking, then you can recognize it. So if you eat a sheretz or aretz, there's one lav. You eat a sheretz hamayim that swims in the sheretz hamayim means a non-kosher fish. It doesn't have snapper, the kaskes, that's called sheretz hamayim. So there's a lav. You eat sheretz ha'of, there's a lav. So the Rambam writes, what if it's all three? It's a sheretz hamayim because it swims, and it's a sheretz aretz, it crawls on the ground, and it's a sheretz ha'of, it flies also. So then it's a three different shvatzim, so you get three times malchus. So the Rebbe writes, there is no such thing. He makes fun of the Rambam, he calls the Rambam Ham Asef Hazeh. The Rambam Mira did such a job. The Rambam took all the Gemaras, all the Yerushalmis, all the Tosefta, everything, and he put everything in order. So the Rebbe makes fun of the Rambam, he writes Ham Asef Hazeh, Asef Dvarim She'enam. He gathered together things that don't exist. There ain't no such animal that crawls and it flies and it swims. Why not? There are animals that crawl and fly. Why is the rabbit so convinced? So they say in the name of Rav Velvel of Soloveitchik, the rabbi meant to say that you have to ask a scientist, is this basically a sheretz ha'oretz? Or is basically a sheretz ha'mayim? Or is basically a sheretz ha'of? Human beings can swim, but we don't live in the river. A sheretz ha'mayim means an animal that's a sea animal, that lives in the water. We have the ability to swim, even if people would be able to fly, but the main place where people live is on a dry land. Even a person is a pilot in a plane, and he's in the plane 51% of the time. He's always flying in the plane, but he's not a knife. He lives on dry land. Even if a guy swims 51% of the day, he's not an animal who lives in the river. He has the ability to swim. So they say that's what the Rebbe was masking. Whatever, the Rebbe is masking on the Rambam. No one agrees with the Rambam. Rambam has a unique shita. All right, so that explains three, sheretz amayim, sheretz oif, and sheretz oretz. If you're all three, then you get three times malchus. But then it says you get another malchus. So what's four times, five times, six times, what is that? So the Rambam has to come up with more. So he quotes a sifrei and that pasuk, that if you have an animal that's spontaneously generated, there's a separate lav on that. So if the animal swims and it flies and it crawls on the earth and it's also spontaneously generated, then there's another lav. And then the Rambam adds on in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and don't tell me that no such thing exists, that you don't believe in spontaneous generation. Whoever says no such thing as spontaneous generation does know the ABC of science. Of course there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. So that's a big question. We assume that Louis Pasteur, who came up with the pasteurization process, came up with the Chiddush that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. Once you pasteurize the food, once you cook it, you kill all the germs, So the chiyus is not going to come from nowhere. There's no such thing as spontaneous generation. So that was a shaila. There was an encyclopedia of halacha that was written in Italy that's called the Pachad Yitzchok after the days of Louis Pasteur. He has everything arranged alphabetically. It's an encyclopedia. So he discusses what he do with the Gemara. The Gemara talks about killing Harikina b'Shabbos. Gemara says if you kill lice on Shabbos, you're not in violation of Netilas Neshama, because Netilas Neshama only applies to animals that multiply from another living animal. But if it's spontaneously generated animals, that's not enough chiyus to be a violation of Shoichet. The 39 melachas on Shabbos and the tilis and shama is sheichet. So it's only a neshama that's born from a neshama, born from parents. But if it's spontaneously generated, then there's no love. But once Louis Pasteur said there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, so what do you do with that gemara? So we don't observe the gemara anymore. Or we assume Louis Pasteur made a mistake, or we reinterpret the gemara. What do you do with the gemara? So that's a discussion, that's a serious discussion in the poskim. What do you do with the Gemara that assumes that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation? Okay, so a big discussion. So the Rambam has this opinion that whenever you have a kefil alav, the same lav is repeated twice, you don't get malchus many times. Disagreement with everybody. So the Tosfos on the first daf over here disagrees with the Rambam. Tosfos asks the kasha, if a person violated Tmura, why does it say in the opening Mishnah in Tmura, it's quoted over here, Sofeg Eso Arboim, we give him Malchus, why Sofeg Eso Arboim? He violated two lavim, Lo Yachlifenu, Velo Yomerosa. The Gemara says in Tmura that it's two lavim. The simple reading of the Gemara, the Masha quotes the Gemara. It's two lavim. So if it's two lavim, how come he doesn't get twice Malchus? So according to the Rambam, the Kasha doesn't get off the ground. That's what they say, the name of Rav Elvela Soloveitchik, and the notes that they printed in the beginning of Tmura. So he said, the same Tosfos appears in the first Mishnah in Tmura. Why does it say Sofik Sarbaim should be Sofik Shmainim? Should get twice Malchus. So Rav Elvela Soloveitchik said, according to the Rambam, the Kasha doesn't get off the ground. When the Gemara says that it's too loud, it just means that it's for emphasis purposes. But really, strictly speaking, it only counts as one lav. So according to the Rambam, there's no kasha.
How does the Rambam understand the concept lav or lav shnei lavim?
For emphasis. Tosfos says you only say, Tosfos and Bar Mitzvah writes, you only say lav or lav shnei lavim if you get malchus on the extra lav. So it's a halachic significance that it's written twice. So the Rambam can't say like that. The Rambam holds that lav or lav shnei lavim, there's no extra malchus. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, whenever you say Lav Olam B'Shnei Lavim, it's for emphasis purposes. Why were these mitzvahs emphasized and the other mitzvahs not emphasized? I don't know. So that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the other Rishon. Yeah, there's another issue over here, a bigger issue. How can you get Malchus for violating Tmura? All Aver is violated Ayidei Amira, Ayidei Dibur. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes hamaroim. The klal is in Chumash Dvarim vidarshin smuchim. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. We assume that there's a connection between the first half of the pasuk and the second half of the pasuk. What if you have two dinim written in two psukim that are adjacent to each other? That the Gemara calls smuchim. So hekesh is from the midrash alternate reshes ben. It's not listed in the list of Rabbi Shmuel Omer B'Shlosh HaSemidus Atonid Rosh HaSpam. There are a lot of things that are missing in that list. So Hekesh is one of the many things. So Smuchim doesn't appear. So Smuchim, the Gemara has a whole sugi at the beginning of Yevamos. Do you darshan Smuchim? Do you not darshan Smuchim? So the Gemara says, the Psak Halacha, we really make a compromise. That in Chumash Dvarim, we do darshan smuchim, and there are many, many, many famous dinim that are based on smuchim. So one of the many, many famous dinim based on smuchim, chumash dvarim, is who gets malchus, whoever violated an avera that's similar to losachsam shor b'dishai. Because that pasuk losachsam shor b'dishai appears adjacent to the pasuk that says v'hayon bin hakayis harosh. If the Rosha deserves Malkus, the Pilasha Bekalafana Kadevishasa bin Miska, you give them Malkus. So the Gemara says, who gets Malkus? One who violates an Avera, which is Dumya the Lav de Hasim, similar to the Lav of Lasach Samashar Bedisha. So there is a Machlokes Hatanaim. Does that mean that if you have a Lav Shein Bo Maisa, the person has to muzzle the animal and then do the work, do the Disha with the animal? What if he violates an Avera, Aydei Dibur, Aydei Amira, without doing any pula, without doing any Maisa B'Yadayim? So that's a Machlokes Hatanoim and a Machlokes Amarayim. And we paskin that a Lav Shein Bo Maisa ain't Loikim Olav. So how come one who does Temura is Loikim? So the Gemara in the first daf, the Gemara in the beginning of Temura, quotes a brisa that kol loises hashem lav shem amaisa in loikim olav, with three exceptions to the rule: nishma meimer, mekal chaver b'shem. These are the three exceptions to the rule, despite the fact that the avera of nishba shva sheker, person takes a shva sheker, or person makes Temura harezu tachazu, mekal chaver b'shem, he curses another Jew. So despite the fact that these three averas are violated, they dibur, and dibur is a lav shem amaisa, the din is that he still gets malchus. That's what it says in the Braisa. The Rama quotes the Braisa l'alaha, the first page in the Rama, Milchus Temura, he quotes that despite the fact that normally a lav shem amaisa ain't like malav, this is one of the three exceptions to the rule. The difficulty, the problem with the Rama is that the Gemara says then, the beginning of Temura, Omer Rabbi Yechanan told, there were Tanoim who lived in a certain period. Rabbi Yudal Nasi, we assume, is the end of the period of the Tanoim. Rabbi Yechanan was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudal Nasi. Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shmuel, they were the first generation of Amoraim. So there were Tanoim who lived in the earlier generations. Then in the days of the later Amoraim, there were people who were called Tanoim. They weren't Tanoim like Rabbi Lozman, like Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. One who would recite Brises was called a Tana. So one Amoira who was reciting a Braisa recited this Braisa. Kol Esesha Shabbatar Lapshem and Maisin, like Maluchus Benish Bame Mikalachaveh Bishem. Amala Rabbi Yechon, the Tana, Rabbi Yechon told the fellow who was reciting the Braisa, Loitisni Meme, you should correct the Braisa. It shouldn't say Temura. Temura is not an exception to the rule. Because since b'dibur es avid ma'ase, when a person says arezu tachazu, the temura is chal, so that's considered a lav she'esh ba ma'ase. Since it brings about a halois, that's considered a lav she'esh ba ma'ase. So it's not really an exception to the rule. So that's the kasha that the Nesikelem ask on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam quote the Braisa Kitzurosai, that there were three exceptions to the rule? Nishba meimer, v'kal chaver b'shem. Rabbi Yechanan told the one who recited the Braisa that it's you have to correct the girsa, that it's a mistake, that Temura is not an exception to the rule. It's considered a lav she'esh ba ma'isa because b'dibur es avid ma'isa. So there's a famous comment that appears both in the Or Sameach and Rav Avila Soloveitchik said the same. I remember Rav Soloveitchik here in the yeshiva said the same. The Gemara raises a question, a strange question. Well, I raise the question, why, if a person makes Temura, why is he loike? Why shouldn't it be a lav hanitek la'ase? What's exactly a lav hanitek la'ase? What's a typical example of a lav hanitek la'ase? L'sikachem ala bonim. Kikor lefanecha katsipa baderech. So it says, l'sikachem ala bonim. You're not allowed to take both. The aim ala bonim. So what if the person violated the loisese? He took the eim al abonim. So there's a machlekes in the Mishnah. So the very end of Chulin. So we pasken that it's a lav anita klase. Shalech to shalach. Even if you violated a law, but it's a lav anita klase. So if you can do a mitzvah sase after having violated the law, and the asay will undo the results of the lav, so then a lav hanita glase ain't like a malav. Again, because it's not dumia the lav de chasima. Once you violated the safsim shabbadishay, there's no way to undo what you did. But if you took aim al abonim, So then you can undo it. Shalech the Shalchasayim afterwards. That's the very end of the Masechta. This is a machlokes satanoim, perek shelo hakan. Is it here? A kuf mem aleph or mem aleph? Anotol aim, the second Mishnah. Anotol aim ala barabi, raim a loike vein a mishalech. Not going to help. It's going to be mishalech later. Vachachamim amrim, we pass on like the chachamim. Mishalech vein ala gzak lal. Alav a nitik leesei. Ain loike malek. Because not do me the lab nechassim. That's the klal. There's one klal. We don't have any klal for Misa. What's the klal? You want to give atzara shavit. What's the klal? Who gets einish Misa? We don't have a klal. We don't understand how come on some averis there is Misa, some averis there's not Misa. We don't understand. But there's one klal for Malkus. One klal for Malkus. So it violates an aver that's similar to the Sachsim Shabbadishai gets Malkus. So everything is determined by Dumid the Lav Dachasima. So Lav Dachasima, there's no way to undo the result. So that's a Lav Sheloi Nitik Lasi. But Hanoit Leiman Albanim is a Lav Nitik Lasi, he can undo it. So the Gemara in Temura raises a question, how come the Mishnah says that one who violates Lo Yachli Fen of Lo Yamaros, and one who violates Temura is like a why don't you consider it a labanitik le'essay? What exactly is a labanitik le'essay? What if Bahayuhu Vimhema Yama Bahayuhu Smarasa Yeah Kodesh? That's the essay. Usually a labanitik le'essay, like Lasikhema Labanim, Shalech the Shalachasay. If you took both aim ala bonim, undo the result by sending away the mother. Or if a person violated by Rabbi Matzei, so then we say, Tashbisu, destroy the chometz, and that'll undo the result of the Avera. But over here, it doesn't really undo the result of the Avera. If a person, Loech, defendant Loech Merosev, Imheim, Yomer, Ayuhus Merosev, Yekadosh, Torah tells you what you should do, what's the next step, what should you do with the animal. So it says you makrib both. The old animal that had Kedusha retains its Kedusha. The new animal gets in it Kedusha also. They both have Kedusha. A new animal, you should also be makrib on the Mizbeach. Or Yehu Smarasa Yekodesh. They both have Kedusha. That's not really the same as a normal. So Tosis points out this, the different kinds of Labanitek Lese. Normally Labanitek Lese means Ese undoes the result of the Lav, like by Tashbisu, or by Heshev Isagzela, or Sigzol, the Heshev Isagzela, undo the result of the Avera, the negative results. And sometimes we call it Alav Anita Glesi. For example, there's a Gemara in Yuma, but the Gemara discusses a Machloike Satanayim. It says, L'Sochel Kol Nevela, L'Agera Shabashachet Tidana V'Achola Machol Anachri. So there is a Tana who's of the opinion, we don't pass like this, there is a Tana who's of the opinion, you ain't a loike for eating the vela because it's a lava nita klaesse. Because it says, l'soch kon vela, l'agerish ha-bashrachet t'dana b'achol ha-mochol ha-nochim. So what do you mean? After you ate the nevela, then you should give it to the ger. After you ate the nevela, nothing there to give to the ger. So it means, l'soch kon vela, what should you rather than eat it, you should have given a lager to a ger toshav or mochol ha-nochim. Should have sold it to a nochim. So that's another kind of a lava nita klaesse. It's not the kind that we usually think of. The normal lav anita klaesse is the essay undoes the results of the lav. Here, the Torah just, after writing the lav, Torah tells you what you should have done, or what you should do from now on, even if what you should do now doesn't really undo. Like, loyach lefen of loyam aros meim ayama, ayuhus marasi yakad, it doesn't undo the results. Not like the heshev isagzela, or tashbisu undoes the results of the aver. Here it doesn't, Vayuhus Merasi HaKadosh doesn't undo the results of the Aver. Or after you already ate the Nevela, there's nothing to do. Torah says, you shouldn't have eaten the Nevela, you should rather have sold it to the Nochri, or given it to the Ger Toshav. So that's another kind, two different kinds of Lav Anita Klase. Different kinds of Lav Anita Klase. So the Gemara raises the question, How come Tamura is lucky at all? Shouldn't it be a Lavanita Glasein? So the Gemara gives two answers on the question. The Rambam, the first page, Hilchas Tamura, quotes the din, whoever violates Tamura is like it, and he raises the question, why isn't it a Lavanita Glasein? He says it's an exception to the rule, even though it's a Lav Shem Amaisa Loikim Molab, because there are three exceptions to the rule. Chutz bin Nishma Mekal Chaver, Meimar Mekal Chaver B'Shem, against Rabbi Yechanan, says, Loi tisni meimer. Rabbi Yechanan says you should. Rabbi Yechanan tells the Tanu who recited the Brisa, you should cross out from the Girsa meimer because meimer is not an exception to the rule. Tamura is a lav on lav sheyesh bo mais. Rabbi Yechanan holds because it brings about a result. The dibur is savid mais. So the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yechanan. He quotes that there were three exceptions to the rule. So that's what the Or Sameach and Rabbi Avila and Rabbi Soloveitchik they all said. Because the Rambam paskens like the other Gemara that rejects Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara raised the question, isn't Tmura always a lav hanita kleese? Should be ein loikim olav? The second kind of lav hanita kleese. The Gemara gives two answers. So one answer is quoted by the Marsha here on the first base on Ben Aleph. One answer, the Gemara Tmura. One answer is that one esse cannot be menatek two lavim. Since it says twice, lo yachlifenu, lo yomeroso, the Rambam holds that it's not to be taken literally. It's not too loving, but the Pasuk writes it for emphasis. The Torah says twice you shouldn't do it. Lavar ala b'shnei lavim does mean you violate too loving, just means for emphasis, but I'll call upon him. So when does this new category of lavanitek le'esei apply that the Torah tells you right next to the lav what you should have done, what you should do, what's the next step, that's only if the lav is only written once. If the lav is written twice, then one essay is not menatik to lav. That's one answer the Gemara gives. Then the Gemara gives another answer, that when do you say lav anitik l'essay and loikim alav, if the essay applies in all cases where the lav applies. But here, atziba v'hashutvim, the tmura is not chal. And the korban tzibur, a korban hashut from the tmura is natchal, and nonetheless, the one who says harezu tachazu would be loike. So you see, so since the essay doesn't always apply in all cases, vayuhus marasi akadosh, what you should do the next step? If you did do tmura, vayuhus marasi akadosh, because the tmura is nitfas b'kedushas tmura. So if it's a korban tzibur, a korban hashut from, it won't be nitfas. The Mishnah learns that from Sukkim. It's a korban tzibur and korban shutvim is not always a tmura, but nonetheless there will be a lav, you will be loike. So since the essay doesn't always apply in all cases, so even in the case where it should have applied, it doesn't have the status of a lav anitek le'essay. So you see, beferish from the Gemara, and the Rama quotes that Gemara. See, beferish the Gemara is rejecting Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, every single case where you get malchus, it's a lav sheyesh bo maisa because b'dibur is savid maisa, because it brings about a chalois, brings about a result that the tmura is chal. The Rambam is paskening like this gemara against Rabbi Yechanan, that by korban tzibur and korban shutvim, the one who makes the tmura will be loike, despite the fact that nothing is chal. It's not always a tmura. So you see that it's a lav sheyesh bo maisa. You can't say b'dibur is savid maisa. By korban tzibur shutvim, it's not chal. So you see, it's just an iser pu'ula, it's not an iser. Not to bring about that result. So that's what they are, Sameach and Rabbi Elbon and Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's what they said. The Rama Pasuk is against Rabbi Yechanan. He said, Lo tisni meimer, b'dibur es avin maisa, you should leave that tmura. It's not an exception to all. The Rama Maisa said, it is an exception to all, because this Gemara that says, Sibur and Shutfin, there's a lav, even though there's no essay, obviously that the lav is unrelated to the chalais. You can have a lav of even though the tmura is not chal. Fascinating mesichta. Tmura is a very fascinating mesichta. Avavla Soloveitchik has a lot of shiurim on tmura, very cheerful. I remember when I was a student in yeshiva, I used to live in the Bronx, not far from Rabbi Gerelich's shul, not far from his home. I used to live mechabrusa with one of his sons, but Chaim Oizer Gerelich. And in Rabbi Gerelich's shul, every Shabbos afternoon, there was one businessman who used to give a shiur every Shabbos afternoon in Tmura. He used to say over all the brisker rabster on Tmura. cheerful, a lot of Torah, a lot. The more on Tmura than on the other Mesichtas and Kutch. Very cheerful Torah. Okay. So it's a lot of interesting discussions on Tmura. Yeah, what's Erichin and what's Damim? The Gemara quotes a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Erich. Hakol Marichim, Hakol Nodrim. What is Erichin, what is Damim? So if a person says, Erichi Alai, Erichu Alai, you pay Kifi Damim Haktsuvim Beparsha. The Torah says if he's between a month old and 5 years old, between 5 years old and 20 years old, depending whether it's a male or a female, and how old the person is, that's how much you pay. Whether he's healthy or he's weak, does make a difference. You pay Domav Ktsuvim Parsha. If the person says Domav Alai, then you pay Kamuhu Shavalim Kabashuk. How much is the person worth? Kamuhu Shavalim Kabashuk, if you were to sell him as an Eved. What kind of an Eved? Eved Ivri and Eved Knaini. So Rabbevola Soloveitchik, in the opening shir on Erchin, raises that question. Kamuhu Shavalim Kabashuk, when you say Domav Alai, Kamuhu Shavalim Kabashuk is Kabed Ivri or Kabed Knaini. So in Bava Kama, there's a Mishnah in the beginning of Perek HaChayvel. HaChayvel B'chaver Mishalam Chamisha Dvarim. Pei Nezik Tzar Ripu Shevis and Boishas. How much did he pay for Nezik? So how much was the person worth? Kamuhu Shavalim Kabashuk. If you would sell him as an Eved before you cut off his arm and now you cut off his arm, what's the differential? How much would he sell for before? How much would he sell for now? So in that Mishnah, there's a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns Kevet Ivri. Rashi seems to learn Kamashav, because a Jewish person can't sell himself as an Eved Knaini. So Kamashav Alim Kamashu Kevet Ivri. And the Rosh disagrees with Rashi. What do you mean Kevet Ivri? An Eved Ivri can only sell for Sheish. Eved Knaini is selling for the rest of his life. He, the guy's going to miss his arm for the rest of his life. So it should really be Kevet Knaini. So Avelbal Soloveitchik had a suggestion, and then he brings a Rai from Matthias and Kiddushin, that it seems that this is the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos when he gets to Domim also. Kamahu Shabbat, if you say Erke Alai, Erko Alai, you don't pay Kamahu Shabbat Lim Kabashuk as an Evid. You pay whether he's a Zohar and a Keva, how old is the person? Is he between a month old and 5 years old, between 5 years and 20 years old, between 20 and 50 or 60, I forgot about it, what it says in the Chumash. He pay Domav Haktsuvim Beparsha. But if you say Domav Alai or Domai Alai, pay Kamahu Shavalim Kabashuk Ke'eved, which Eved? So he points out how it is a Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi seems to hold Ke'eved Ivri, and Tosfos like the Rosh. The Rosh usually follows in the footsteps of the Balei Tosfos, Ke'eved Knaini, not Ke'eved Ivri. Then the Gemara quotes Machlekes. How do you deal with this pasuk in Koheles? Machlokes Amer Reb Yudin. Tova shel atida mishatida v'loy tishalem. Sometimes people pledge to give money and they don't pay the money. So the Gemara says that's terrible. The psukim in Koheles say, bavo nidarim bani mesim. If a person takes a neder to give tzedakah and he doesn't give it, there are a lot of people like that. They pledge to give a lot of money and then they don't. They like the covet of everybody here is at the pledging to give a lot of money. They don't give. So the Gemara says, Baman Adarim Bani Mason, the children can die. The wife can die. If the husband takes a neder and he doesn't fulfill it, even though the wife didn't do the Avera, the children didn't do the Avera, the Pasuk in Kohala says, because of pledging and not fulfilling the pledge of Tzedakah, the wife can die and the children can die. So the pasuk recommends tova shel atida mishatida v'lo tishalem. Better not to take nedarim, rather than to take a neder and not to pay it up. But what if he takes the neder and he does pay up? So that's a machlokes satanai. So the first opinion is tov mizeh mizeh she'en eino d'kalika. Best is you shouldn't take any nedarim at all. Fine. Better is never to take any nedarim. Well, we violate this all the time. I got an aliyah yesterday in shul. It was like, I was at a family simcha. So they gave me shlishi, and they expected me to make a mishaberach for the chosn kala and the babu shanara. So I had to take a pledge of money. So how are you allowed to pledge money? Told me zeh mizeh she'en eino d'kalika. That's not right. He may forget. I didn't forget yet, but I didn't make out the check yet. He may forget to pay the pledge. So we should really say you shouldn't take out in the door. So the Rishonim on the first daf in the Dorm, this discussion, where is it in the Dorm daf tes? This machlekes on Meir Rav Yehuda, it says on the margin, it appears in the Dorm daf tes. So there on the back of the regular Gemara in the Dorm, you have the Ramban wrote, we have in the back of a lot of Masechtos, we have the Rif, on Chulin, printed in the back, Rif on Brachas, on Shabbos, on Erevin, all the Masechtos that are halach l'maisa. The Ramban didn't have a Rif on the Dorm, so he wrote imitation Rif. We do have something on the Dorm that's called the Rif. The Ramban didn't have it. Maybe it's not authentic, I don't know. So in the back of the Gemara, in the Dorm, they printed the Ramban on the Dorm, and they have the Rif on the Dorm. So they have two commentaries on the side. They have the Ritva and then the Muki Yosef. Commentaries on the Rif, on the Dorm. So they raise this issue. How come the common practice is that they make Misha Beruchs and Shul, or they make appeals in Shul? On Yontif, when you say Yisker, they make an appeal, and everybody pledges to give money. So what happened to the din of Tov Mizeh Mizeh Shein and Erdu Kol Iker? So the Rishonim give an answer that if the Gavoyim keep a record of how much you pledged, and they send you a notification, you owe so much money, then you don't have to be concerned. The whole reason Tov Mizeh Mizeh Shein and Erdu Kol Iker, because like the Pasuk says in Kalis, Tova Shalatida Meshitida V'loy Tishalem, if you have to rely on yourself, so better is don't take any of the dorm. But you don't have to be afraid. The Gabba is going to send you a letter in the mail. He's going to remind you. Yeah, but the Gabba is not going to remind you. I was at Neufruf in Muncie. He doesn't have my address. They're not going to remind me. So I may forget to give the money. So that's stuck a problem. How are you allowed a pledge to give money? That is a problem. They're not. The Rishonim say that the practice was that the Gaboyim kept the record and they would notify, they would hack you. They would remind you every so often, you didn't pay up your pledge. But if you don't have such a system, they don't keep a record, they don't notify you. So then how is it mutter to take a pledge? That's not a serious problem. So now they have the shtick, they say, Babusha, not a belineta. Okay, so you say, not a belineta, so that's he didn't take a netta. Okay, that's probably what the guy said, yes, Babusha, not a belineta. There's another issue that the Rishonim raise, unrelated issue. There's a Mishnah in the end of Beitza that lists off most of Masechus Beitza as Hilchas Yontif. So towards the end of Masechus Beitza, towards the very end of Masechus Beitza, there's a Mishnah that says, Ve'elam Mishum Shvus, a whole bunch of prohibitions that are awesome in the Rabbanon. You're not allowed to be Mafris Trumas and Maisus on Shabbos and Yontif, and a whole bunch of things. So it says that Mekach HaMemkar is also, you're not allowed to sell, you're not allowed to buy. And then it says, Emagdishin, you're not allowed to take any pledges to Hegdash. So how can you make an appeal on Shabbos and Yontif? And how can you say, Babusha Nadar? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to take a neder on Shabbos and Yontif. It's part of the Gzeira of Mekach HaMemkar, Gzeira Shem Yichtov. The Gabbai in some shuls keeps a record of who got the aliyahs. If he has your card with your name, so he's going to put it somewhere. He's going to put a tab there to remember how much money you pledged to give, to what purpose. But how are you allowed to take a pledge on Shabbos? When you take the pledge, Amiras al Gabbaya is a Kenyan. So that's a violation of Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos. Ein Noidrim b'Shabbos. So the Ran on the Rif, on that Mishnah in the end of the Beitza, Daf Lamed Zayin on the base, Asam Lamed Vav on the base, Lamed Zayin on the base. So the Ran on the Rif quotes Rabbeinu Hananel. He says the only time there's a prohibition of a Magdishin is if you Magdish a particular thing. I donate my watch to the Shul. I donate a Sefer Torah to the Shul. I donate a Behemoth to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a Mekach HaMemkar on an object. So that's part of Mekach HaMemkar, Gzeira Shem Yichtov. So they said if you donate a particular object to the Beis HaMikdash or to the Shul, that's also. But if you take a pledge to give an amount of money, that's not Mekach HaMemkar. You're not giving an any particular object. So that's not included in Mekach HaMemkar. That's permissible, to pledge to give an amount of money, even though We say Amirasa la Gavari Kem Sirasa la Hed Yadami, that pledging to give Hare Alai, to give an amount of money to Hegdish, is binding in Chosha Mishpat, not only binding in Yoridei Hilchos Dharma, it's binding Amirasa Kem Sirasa la Hed Yad. It's a Kenyan, but it's not a Kenyan on a BN, it's a Kenyan to an amount of money, so that's not included. That's what the Ran quotes from the Rabbeinu Hanan. So to pledge to give an amount of money is an issue of Tob Nizam Zeshen and Erdi Kalikar, that is a problem. And then and the Gaboim today are not going to send me a letter that you didn't pay up your debt. So that problem is a problem. But the problem of Shabbos and Yontav, so that's what the Rabbeinu Hanan says is not a problem. So the Achroinim are bothered with the Kasha, how can he say that? The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to Eim Arichim. Mishnah says Eim Arichim. You're not allowed to say Erko Alai, Erki Alai. Erko Alai, Erko Alai. There is no Bien. You're not Magdish Bien. You're pledging to give an amount of money. There is no particular Bien. So don't you see the Rabbeinu Hanan is 100% wrong? How can he say that the prohibition of Eim Magdishin only applies over here, Magdish Bien, because you transfer ownership of the Bien, that's like Mekar HaMemkar, there's an object that now belongs to the Hegdish. It says, Eim Arichim, there is no object, they're just pledging an amount of money. So the Shilti Giborim quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel, and he quotes the Kasha, he comes up with a wild, fantastic Chiddush on the level of the Raisa to answer, to defend the Rabbeinu Hananel. In the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, Rabbi Yosef Karo had a bezna in Tzfat. All the Jews lived in Spain and Portugal at that time. And then in 1492, they expelled all the Jews from Spain, unless you would convert, or they would kill you if you wouldn't. They killed a lot of Jews. And then the Jews ran away to Portugal. And then in 1497, they expelled all the Jews from Portugal unless they would convert and so on. So then a lot of them moved to Eretz Yisrael. We don't move on our own, so Menor Shemayim don't force us to move to Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Medrash says. If Yankov Avinu wouldn't have gone on his own to Mitzrayim, Menor Shemayim, they would have schlepped him with Shal Shalor and Shal Barzal. They would have put him in metal and iron shackles and taken him. The Gzera Menor Shemayim was, they were supposed to go down to Mitzrayim for a while. So that was in the late 1400s, Menor Shemayim. They wanted the Jews to move to Eretz Yisrael. So it was a big Jewish yeshuv. Before the Spanish expulsion, there were hardly any Jews living in Tzfat. And the whole yeshuv developed because of the 1492, 1497. So the Jews ran away from Spain and Portugal, and they came to Tzfat. So the Beis Yosef had in his Besni, had the Mabit, was together with him, Moshe Ditrani. So the Mabit and Rabbi Yosef Karo, both each of them wrote a sefer on the Rambam. So the Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Kes Mishnah. Kes Mishnah gives you all the Marmakimus. Is it a Mishnah? Is it a Tosefta? Is it a Bavli? Are you Yerushalmi? Shuvas Agoinim? Right. And so the Kes Mishnah was printed on the side of the Rambam, because he gives all the marmakims. Every so often, he doesn't give a marmakim, okay? So the others filled in the missing marmakims. Okay. And then the Mabit also wrote a sefer on the Rambam, but he doesn't give the Kiryas Sefer. It doesn't compare at all to the Kes Mishnah. Kes Mishnah gives you all the marmakims. The Mabit whenever someone has to say a chabur and a kolo, so you look in the Mabit, you'll for sure find something strange. You'll have what to discuss. Where did he come up with this thing from? So the Mabit and the Kiryas Sefer writes the same, without explaining what prompted him, what motivated him, says, comes up with the same answer, that the same thing that the Shilti Gibborim writes. But the Shilti Gibborim wrote it to defend the Rabbeinu Hananel. So they both say this wild idea. When a person says, Erko Alai, Erki Alai, he's not pledging to give an amount of money. He's Magdish himself, or he's Magdish the other guy, and then he has to be Paida himself, or Paida the other guy. So it's a Hakdosha Anabiyan. It's a Hakdosha Anabiyan. What do you mean? How can I be Magdish you? How can I? So So the answer is, it's a davar she'eino shali. If I would be magdish you l'chol davar, you don't belong to me. So hekdesh can't auction you off to the highest bidder. They can't. If I magdish my house, so the gizmo shel hekdesh has an auction and he sells it to the highest bidder. Here I'm magdish you. I say erka alai miriam means I'm magdish you. You're only the hekdesh is only chal with respect to the fact that I have to be paid to you mina hekdesh. So that I'm a vaylam on that. It's a wild idea. He said erka alai on the level of the raisa. That's what erka alai means.
If that's the case, could you say about Yiftach HaGiladi that maybe when he's Makdesh his daughter, that's what's the situation. It's just an Erech, and all he has to do is pay Pidyo.
Could be that's what it means. Could be. Yeah. I don't know. Every story in Tanakh is, in my feeling, is missing 98% of the story. And then you look in the Midrashim, so they try to fill you in. So then after you read all the Midrashim, you're only missing 96% of the story. So it fills in a little bit. Yesterday, I spoke at the family simcha. So I spoke on the Parsha Malachim that on Yontif, when we have the duchening, so we say the tefillah for the chaloimus. The Gemara says in the end of Brachas that if you had a funny dream and you're nervous about it, so you should say the tefillah for the chaloimus when the kohanim duchen. So we say metov mehem. If it's a good dream, so it should be fulfilled. In Sikh Merfuah, and if there's something problematic with the dream, someone's going to die, someone's going to lose money, someone's going to get sick. So I spoke about that parsha in Balochim. Chizkiyo HaMelech was sick, and the Novi Yishai comes to be Mabakar Chayla. And he tells me, you're going to drop dead? That's what you tell me. Come to me, I'm going to die. And make a tzavua quickly before you die. And then Chizkiyo prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he adds on another 15 years. So the Gemara fills in the whole rest of the story. Why is he going to die? What did he do? And why was it changed? And what happened over here is so unclear. The Gemara fills in all the details of the story. That's a big problem. He learned Tanakh. You don't have a tradition from the Gemara, from the Midrashim, you don't understand any of the stories. So the Gemara understands, it says, after Chizkiyahu died, his son Menashe took over the kingdom. Menashe was only 12 years old. He didn't have any children before then. So the Gemara says, that was the whole story. He was single. He never got married. Because he saw Baruch HaKadosh that if he has children, they'll be over there with his Zarim. And you have children up there, but it's all, you're not Yotze in the mitzvah of Pirei Revivah. That's what he assumed. So then Yishayahu Navi came and he said, Mois Tom is going to die because he didn't fulfill Pirei Revivah. So he said, okay, he'll get married. So he got married, and the Rabban Shalom said, I'll extend you. He did tshuva, he said he's going to get married. And then he got married and he had a child, and the child was only 12 years old when the father died. Father died 15 years later, so it took him 3 years till Menashe was born. He didn't have any children older than that. He didn't marry before. All the stories in Tanakh are missing a lot. Anyway, so this is the problematic Rabbeinu Chananel quoted by the Ran on the Mishnah in the end of Beitzer and Lamed Vavasa, Lamed Zainam and Beis, where the Mishnah says, Ey Marichim, on Shabbos and Yantav, Ey Marichim, because of Mekach and Memka. So don't you see that even Hare Alai is also, it's legally binding on me, Rasa Lagavai Kim Sirasa Lahed Yadami. It's like pledging to give an amount of money. You see, Hare Alai is also a violation of a Magdishan and Shabbos. How can Rabbeinu Chananel say it's only Hare Zu? Hare Zu, you're transferring ownership of a BN. Hare Alai, you're accepting and binding yourself an obligation to give an amount of money. How can I say that that's not included? It says, Ey Marichim. So he comes up with the Chiddush, the Shulchan Aruch, and comes to answer the Rabbeinu Chananel. And the Mabit says it without any kasha. He just says that that's Pshat in the Chumash. When the Torah has the institution of Erechin, the Pshat is that you magdish the person, either yourself, Erechi Alai, or magdish the other person. And you magdish him with respect to that you mukhiv to be paid of the person. Very, very wild Chiddush. Others give a different answer. How can you take a neder on Shabbos? If the Gabbai says, Babush Anara, Bli Neder, okay, so he didn't take any neder. But if you say, Babush Anara, you're taking a neder, so the din is you're not allowed to. It's a Magdishin. So other Rishonim point out, there is a Gemara in Adorah, there is a Gemara in Psochim. Gemara says, what do you do if there are Pesach Holiyas B'Shabbos? He's supposed to shech the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, after Chatzoy. So what do you do if there are Pesach Holiyas B'Shabbos? So you learn after a Pesach, the Korban Pesach is Manu Kavua, so it's Dechah Shabbos. What if the person forgot to be Magdashit before Shabbos? He forgot to be Magdashit. So the Gemara says, you got no choice. You're permitted to be Magdashit on Shabbos. Even though the Torah says, hey, Magdishin, even though the Mishnah says, there's a Gzerma de Rabban, hey, Magdishin, but if you have an obligation to bring the Korban, so you got no choice. So some Rishonim, the Rishonim give two explanations. Why is it Mutter? Some Rishonim say it's Mutter, because if Shechting is Mutter, Shechting is a real Malacha. Shechting is a Malacha deraisa of Tilis Neshama. And Haktor, you got to burn the Chelev on the Mizbech. You got to do Mamish Malachas deraisa. So you see that the Hakrobas HaKorban is Decha Shabbos, the Hakdosha, if you weren't Magdashit, you really should have been Magdashit before. But the Hakdosha is also Decha Shabbos. It's included in the Din that the Hakrobas is Decha Shabbos, the Shchit is Mutter, the Haktor is Mutter, so the Hakdosha is also Mutter. And now the Rishonim word it differently. They don't say because included in the Heter that is Decha Shabbos is the Heter to be Magdashit. It's Decha the Issa the Rabbana of Magdashit. They say differently. They say that this prohibition of Ein Magdishin, if it's a big Shas HaTchak, if you got no choice, so then we allow you. Mokam Shas HaTchak Godel, we allow you to be Magdish B'Shabbos. If you're not going to be Magdish, and our Pesel Shcholis B'Shabbos, you won't be able to be Makrev the Korban Pesach. So if the Tzedakah organization is really in debt, if they really need a lot of money, and usually you give aliyahs on Shabbos and Yom Tov to the people, you have a captive audience there. You give a guy an aliyah, and it's understood you're holding him up for money. Okay? That's why here in Broyers, they give 15 aliyahs, I think, every Shabbos. They make a lot of hoysofas, don't to make more money for the shul. They make a ton of hoysofas to make more money for the shul. So if the shul is really in need of money, or you're making an appeal for a poor yeshiva that really needs money, so then we're makel. It depends who they're collecting for. If you're collecting for a yeshiva that has a few million dollars in the savings account, and they have a lot of money and they want to have more, they want to put more money in the savings account to last another 100 years after Mashiach comes, so then that heter wouldn't apply. But most of the yeshivas are in the red. So that heter would apply. But when they make Mishnah Berachs on Shabbos, it's a double problem. It's a problem, Ein Magdishin B'Shabbos, that's a mission at the end of Beitza, and it's a problem, Tov Mizeh Mizeh in Oyde Kol Iker. Gotta take care of the both problems.
As far as Tov Mizeh Mizeh, so does the nether have to be to give money to this shul? If you didn't take the money out of your pocket, you didn't give the money to any stock. So the next time, in a month from now, you give $18 to some money, they'll fulfill that nether.
But he may never give it.
But eventually he'll give some money to Tzedakah sometime in life.
He has to have in mind, this is to fulfill a neder. Let's say the guy doesn't even have in mind Hareza the Nidri. He forgot all about the neder. Just going to give money to the Ani. He forgot all about the fact that he took a neder. Then he still owes the money. He still didn't mekayim the neder.
What about a Bukhar? A Bukhar is Kadosh Mirechem, but we still say you should makdish it anyway. If a Bukhar is born on Shabbos, can I makdish the Bukhar on Shabbos? Because it's already Kiddush.
Interesting Shaila, I don't know. Interesting Shaila. The Tur doesn't quote that din. Bukhar mitzvah lahakdisha. The Ramah quotes it, the Tur doesn't quote it. So Rabbi Shlomo Levilna, in the back of the Gemara, I think in the back of Bechoris, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere, I think the Rabbi Shlomo Levilna thinks that the Bechor Mitzvah Lakdisha only applies Bizban Shabbos HaMikdush HaYikayim, and you're going to be Makrevit. So the farmer says, HaRez HaKadosh B'Kedushas Bechora, so the HaKadosha of the farmer is only Chal when he brings it to the Beis HaMikdush and he's Makrevit. It's not Chal right away. So Bizman HaZeh, we're not going to be Makrevit. So there is no mitzvah l'hakdishim. So that's how he defends the tour. The tour only writes a din without a noheg bizman hazeh. So he thinks that this din is not noheg bizman hazeh. The Rambam quotes all the din. So the Rambam quotes the din of Chor mitzvah l'hakdishim. Interesting, Shaima. Is there an issa to be magdishin on Shabbos? Because it's Kaddish anyway. Okay, what's on the top of Amud Beis? We'll soon stop. The Gemara quotes a brisa that doesn't exist anywhere. Here it says, the fourth line from the top. Ela meyata, the quoted brisa, kol samchem echad anashim v'echad anashim. So it says on the right-hand margin in my Gemara, chipastum b'chol hamekomis, this has in brackets, to have cross-references on the side. So those that are not in brackets are by Rabbi Yeshua Boaz. He was the one who wrote the Torah Or, Nei Mishpat, Nei Mitzvah, the Maimon Kamis to the Rambam, and the Masoros HaShatz. Whatever is in brackets was added on in the 1700s by Rabbi Shai Balin. So this bracket says on the side, Chipas the Mechala Mekamis, Lo Matzina Ken B'Shim Mokam B'Shas. Ad Rabbi, Ipcha Matzino. There's Machlekes, Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Yaisi. When Noshim Samchas Rishus, or not, the Chumash says, Dabrel B'nei Yisrael, the beginning of Chumash Reikah, Dabrel B'nei Yisrael, B'nos Yisrael. The women don't have this din. Women don't have what din? The women can donate a korban oilam. The women can donate a korban oilam. So it goes on the smicha. The women don't have an obligation to do smicha. They don't have an obligation. Are they permitted to volunteer to do smicha? So that's a machlekes, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yosef. So we paskin, Noshim Samchas Rishus, they may do smicha. So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. Based on different girsas in the Gemara Chagiga, what does it mean? So the Ravid and the Meiri both came from southern France, from Provence. They had different girsas and different traditions there. A lot of different traditions. So their girsa in the Gemara was Noshim Samchas Rishus. The women can do smicha b'chol kaicham. The din is when a man does smicha on the carbon, you have to lean on the carbon so much that if they'll take away the animal, you'll fall down. You have to do smicha b'shtei adayim and b'chol koichai, to lean on the animal. So they had the girsa in the Gemara that Noshim Samchas Rishus means all the way. Women do a regular smicha. Even though it's when you do smicha b'chol koich, it's in violation of l'sava b'v'chor sharecha v'l'sogaz b'chor tzenecha. There's an isa giza v'avoida. So this is an isa avoida. You're doing avoida b'kochma. It's not the same as me'ila. Me'ila means you're nanim in a hegdish. Let's say I take an animal that has a kedushas carbon and I ride on the animal to get somewhere. So that's an isa me'ila. But if I just lean on the animal, I'm not interested in leaning on the animal. The Torah says I have to lean. So that's not a violation of Me'ila, but it's a violation of the Sava B'l'chor Sharecha. That's Avoida. There's an Isa Giza, there's an Isa Avoida. So men have the obligation to do Smicha B'chol Koicham, so they're allowed to do. The other Rashi and Tosfos have the Girsa, like we have in the Gemara, we have Rashi and Tosfos Girsa. Women for sure are not allowed to do Smicha B'chol Koicham. Even according to the Tana, who holds that's how we pass the Noshim, Samchas Rishus, they only do an imitation Smicha. Akufi yadaychut, they just have the hands floating on top of the animal. Imitation smicha, not a real bona fide smicha. But the Ravid, in his commentary on the Sifra, the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, and the Meiri, and that Gemara in Chagiga, we have the Meiri and Chagiga, they had the Girsa in the Gemara not so. That Noshim Samchas Rishus, according to that Tana, the women could do mamish smicha. So the Ravid writes, another nafkemita between the machlekes Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Yosi, when Noshim Samchas Rishus, let's say a woman wants to wear tzitzis, and she wants to wear a beged shel pishtim with shatnas in it. The chut of tcheles has to be tzemer, and if you make a knot, chut shel tzemer, the beged shel pishtim has got to be shatnas deraisa. So the Rabbit says that depends on the machlekes hatanoim. When you say esa dechalos essay, does it only apply if you're mechuyev to do the essay, or even if it's a kiyum mitzvah? When the women volunteer to do a mitzvah essay as magrama, or the women volunteer to do smicha, they're not mechuyev to, but there's a kiyum essay. So do you say esa dechalos essay only when there's a chiyuv, or even if there's no chiyuv, there's a kiyum? That's how the rabbi learned. The other rishonim had the girsa like we have in the Gemara. Nashin Samchas Vishus, they only do imitation smicha. Yeah, so that's what Rabbi Shai Balid writes on the side. We don't have such a brisa anywhere in Shas. I call Samchem Echad Anashim, Echad Anashim. We don't have such a. It's a machlekes Satanam, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yossi. When Nashim Samchas Vishus are not. And even if you're Nashim Samchas Vishus, the Chachmei Pravans had the Girsa and the Gemara like that, they do the regular smicha. But the Girsa of Rashi and Tosfos says they're not allowed to do a regular smicha. That'll be a violation of Avodah B'Kodshim. They have to do Akufi Yadacha, have your hands floating on top of the behema. The women felt bad, like today. The women feel bad that they're not able to do certain mitzvahs. So some rabbanim allow them to do imitation. They make a tefillah group for the women. So they have an imitation minion. So the Rishonim learned. That was the machlokes Hatanaim over here. Could they lasse nachas ruach l'noshim, that the women shouldn't feel hurt? Why we don't allow them to do smicha? Do we permit them to do smicha? Not what's the shayla? Do we have to be concerned? The klal is, do you permit people to do an imitation mitzvah? So the klal is, if there's a concern, nofik b'nei churva, you're afraid that a kilkel may come out, then you don't allow an imitation smicha. If there's no concern, nofik b'nei churva, if no kilkel can come out in halacha, then you do allow an imitation smicha. So most of the tanoim were of the, many tanoim, I don't know, I can't say most, many tanoim were of the opinion, we don't allow the women to do imitation smicha, because we're afraid they may do smicha b'chol koicham. And that for sure will be us. That will be a violation of Avodah B'Kodshim. That's what the Aderis published an essay. The Aderis, Rabbi Shmuel Salant was getting old, so they decided to have to. Rabbi Shmuel Salant was the head of the Eidah Charedis, the Ashkenazi community in Yerushalayim, for many generations. They were only Sfardim. And then the Ashkenazi moved. So that's Tequila Ashkenazi. So they had Badatz of the Eidah Charedis for the Ashkenazim. So when he was getting old, so they decided to have to get an assistant rabbi to take over when he'll have to retire. So they, after much pilpul, they got the Aderis. So Aderis, I think, moved to Yerushalayim in 1902. Then he died in 1906, and Rabbi Shmuel Salant was still functioning. He never, the Aderis never had a chance to function as the rabbi of the Eidah Charedis. He died before Rabbi Shmuel Salant. So he published a little kuntris. Is it permissible to do Zecha Lahakel? Is it permissible to gather together by the Kosel HaMarabi to have an imitation Hakel on Chalamoid Sukkos following Shnas HaShemitah? So he writes, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and they told him that they've been doing like this for years. The Malamdim bring the little children of Chalamoid Sukkos, and they read from Chumashim, Chumash Dvarim, and we never heard that any kilkel came out from them. So that's the klal in the Gemara. When do you permit an imitation mitzvah? When not? Whenever there's a concern of nafik b'nei churva, then you don't allow. Whenever there's no concern of nafik b'nei churva, then you do allow. So at the time that when he died, 1906, the Chazon Ish was still in Europe. He didn't move to Eretz Yisrael. So yeah, years later, when the Chazon Ish moved to Eretz Yisrael, so then he wrote on his copy, he had a copy of this sefer. So he wrote on the cover of the pamphlet, "Ein lismach hamashik kasa b'sefer hazeh." You shouldn't rely on the hetter. So that's why if you go to Eretz Yisrael on Sukkot for Motzei Shnas HaShemitah, they're going to have the Zecha LaHakel by the Kosel HaMaravia. Fancy, beautiful tekes. So the Bnei Torah always boycott it because of Chazon Ish. That's what they wrote. The Chazon Ish said you shouldn't enlist machmashkos b'sefer hazeh. But the people who go say that it's very moving. And the Aderis wrote, he never heard that any kilkel came out. What can possibly be the kilkel? But that's the club. By the women's prayer groups, we know that a lot of kilkulim came out. The women say Kaddish and the women say Brichas Haftorah. That's Taki Keneged Adin. You can't say Kaddish without a minion. A minion needs 10 men. You can't have 10 women. It's not a minion. So it was already not nothing, but Dilma nothing, but a churva. Churva has come out. The women, there are women's prayer groups where they have the women drive there on Shabbos in order to attend the prayer groups. They're not Shomer Shabbos, but the big feminists. There was one woman had her oifruf on the Shabbos before her wedding, So the yesterday said, no, she's not going to observe Taras HaMishpacha, but she wants to have her Eifruf. She drove to the women's prayer group. So that's Churva on top of Churva. That is a problem. Anyway, that's the clump. Okay, but tomorrow we shall continue.